Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
Hey, welcome to Revitalize and Replant. I am Mark Clifton here with my good friend, Mark Halleck.
Hey, what's up, man?
We are in Inglewood, Colorado, and this thing goes on the road. We go all over the place.
Yep. We're here with Jeff DeClue.
Jeff DeClue.
He is, in all seriousness, Jeff DeClue is, you know, he helps oversee replanting revitalization with our family of churches.
Awesome.
You'll meet few men who love the church more and love dying churches more than Jeff DeClue.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
And has the resume to back that
Amen.
Up.
Exactly.
And
Amen.
Kyle is unable to be with us today, and I think he's getting a hair transplant. And I wasn't supposed to say that, was I? Anyway.
We're supposed to keep that on the down low.
Let's keep that secret. Hey, we're going to talk today. So Jeff's doing the board. And Dan is out making a whole bunch of money doing voiceovers. This is just the B team today. So anyway, we're going to talk about sermon preparation today. Yay! Sermon preparation. I don't know. In the last 15 or 20 years, that phrase sermon prep has come up. I promise you, I'm 64 years old. The first 20 years of my ministry, I never heard the word sermon prep.
Sermon prep.
No, I didn't hear
What
that.
Did you call it? What was it
I'm
called?
I'm studying for my sermon.
Oh, you're studying for your sermon.
Yeah.
Okay.
And sermon prep.
Sermon
I don't know. Prep. It's like I'm prepping. I still don't get sermon prep.
You don't like sermon prep?
No, I don't. It's like I'm prepping for it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm studying
for my
sermon.
What would
your dad, he'd say?
I'm studying.
I'm studying.
I got to go up and study for my sermon. He'd always say, I'm studying for my sermon. He was in his study. It was the pastor's study.
Yeah, I like that.
You know,
yeah.
I wasn't prepping.
Yeah.
I'm not prepping for my sermon. Whatever.
I'm prepping a meal.
I'm prepping a meal or I'm prepping to do a 5K, you know? I'm studying for a sermon. All right.
Okay.
Curmudgeony. We all just
That's
call
right.
this the curmudgeony half hour. My friend and one of my mentors, Tom Rayner, in 2001, Lifeway did a study of 7,000 pastors. And the average time a pastor in 2001 spent in sermon study preparing to preach a sermon was 4 hours.
4 hours?
4 hours.
For one sermon?
For one sermon.
In a week?
4 hours. That was 20 years ago.
Okay.
Now, are you ready for this? Here are the numbers. You got a pen? You got a pencil? Write these down. There'll be a test afterward. Okay? Now, pastors who spend less than 5 hours, it's only 8% of you. Eight. Only 8% of you spend less than 5 hours. 23% of you spend 5 to 7 hours. 25% of you spend 8 to 10 hours. 23% of you spend 11 to 15 hours. And 21% of you spend more than 15 hours. So basically, 75% of you spend 8 to 15 hours in sermon preparation. Again, 20 years ago, the vast majority spent 4 hours. Today, 75% of you spend 8 to 15 hours in sermon preparation.
Okay, so the first question we have to ask is why? What has changed?
Well,
in 20 years.
Back in the day before electricity, when I started pastoring, and I had to do my sermon prep by candlelight at Starbucks. Starbucks didn't even have electricity back
Starbucks.
Then. And neither did Panera.
Long time ago.
No, really, when I was a young man pastoring and preaching, I didn't have a huge library, right? I had a few books.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I had Herschel Ford's Simple Sermons for Sunday Morning, Simple Sermons for Sunday Night, Simple Sermons for Special Occasions.
That saved you many times.
That saved me. I had three of those Simple Sermon books. And then I had a few other books. I did have my Scofield Bible.
Okay.
My Scofield King James Bible with Scofield's notes in it. I had a couple of Spurgeon sermon books.
Okay.
But not much other than that. I really didn't.
Not many commentaries.
No, I didn't have any money.
Yeah.
And you had to buy commentaries.
Yeah.
Or you go to the library at the college or seminary. But if you don't live at a college or seminary, you know.
You don't have access.
So I didn't really have commentaries to speak of. I did borrow a few from some pastors from time to time, or I picked some up. But I mean, it was a shuffle books. It wasn't very many, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have the interstate. I mean, the internet. I didn't have the internet.
So
I couldn't go online. I didn't have Logo software, right?
Right. Yeah.
And I didn't have podcasts to listen to, or even in those days, I didn't even have. I couldn't even listen like to cassette tapes really that much. You know, pastors didn't get out to cassette, so I couldn't listen to Martin Lloyd Jones or to Charles Stanley or to Adrian Rogers all day every day, or Piper or Sproul or Swindoll or
any of these
or Alistair Begg. You know, all these people that. No, nothing. So you think about that. If all you've got is your handful of books and no internet and no way to really listen to other preachers all that much, you know, you have a limited resource. And so I spent, I'm sure that was about me. I probably spent 4 hours on a sermon, something like that. Sermon was 30, 35 minutes long. Mm. Probably did that. That's probably normal. Today, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Guys got this Logo software. You get one verse in there, one text in there. You could spend hours looking at that.
Oh yeah, easy.
You can go on. There's all you can do is Google a verse, and you can look up at 10 or 15 commentaries.
What they
say about that verse.
Yeah.
And each one of those can take you a different place and to a different place. And then you can get online and you can listen to what Piper says. You can listen to what Swindoll says.
If you love to study, man, we are living in the golden age.
That's it, isn't it?
I mean, seriously.
So if you love to study,
maybe
one of the hardest things in sermon prep is knowing to quit studying. When does quit sermon prepping?
Yep, that's
because
right.
Because there's no end to it.
That's right.
You can never learn everything about that
text. That's a really good point. When do you have to actually stop studying and start writing? Start praying.
And basically I got to start praying. And, really, unless the Lord anoints it, it doesn't matter what you do.
Yeah.
It's not going to go out with any power or authority.
Right.
So you've got to have an anointing of the Lord. You also have to know this is his message to these people at this hour. And how have I spent, time in prayer for that, not just in my study of the scripture. But guys, I do think there's a huge shift from 20 years ago, where most of you spent 4 hours a week preparing, to today, where the vast majority of you spend 8 to 15 hours a week preparing. So I think the reason is so much more availability of resources to prepare. Now, what's the strength of that, Mark?
Okay. Strengths are, I think the quality of preaching in a lot of churches has gone way up. I mean, I just think, again, just because you spend a lot of time studying doesn't mean your sermon's going to be great. But I will say this, you and I both work with a lot of our seminarians. The quality of education that they're getting at our seminaries in terms of sermon prep, quote unquote, and preparing is just top notch. And so honestly, I just think one of the things I'm excited about with our convention overall is I just think there's quality Bible-centered, text-driven expository preaching on a level maybe we haven't seen before.
Well, I think that's true. I think that's true.
And I think that's and that does take time.
Oh,
it takes
does.
Time
yeah.
to know the text well, to preach it well, faithfully. You can't just throw something together. Most guys can't just throw something together and give a quality meal to their people week in and week out.
No, so I agree.
That's a strength, I would say.
It is. And when I was I'm grateful for Herschel Ford's Simple Sermons. My dad used to say it was simple sermons make simple Christians, but nonetheless, I'm grateful for Herschel Ford's simple sermons, but they were not exegetical, they were very superficial and very topical.
Yeah.
They helped me. They gave me, 3 points to them and I could build stuff around. Yeah, 3 points in a poem. And so, but again, back in those days, in the 70s and 80s, and even somewhat into the 90s, there wasn't a majority of the preaching that I heard was not expository,
right,
verse by verse through an entire book of the Bible.
Yep.
You and I both know the majority of young men that we work with, that is their preference.
Yeah,
and that actually requires more study.
Yeah, it does.
Because think about it.
It does.
If all I'm preaching is Herschel Ford's Simple Sermons, then I'm preaching the Good Samaritan.
Yeah.
And that's not, but if I'm preaching every verse in Ecclesiastes,
I got to study that thing.
Exactly.
I got to know it. I've got to preach hard passages.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If I'm preaching about Tamar in the Old Testament, I got to know. I got to figure out how I'm going to come about
this.
Exactly
right.
There's something here. It's not like I'm preaching about the woman at the well, right?
Yeah.
Those are two different things.
Yeah.
And so I think by preaching verse by verse, it forces pastors to have to spend much more time in study than we were sort of preaching, just skimming the surface.
Whatever you want to talk about.
What I used to do, okay?
Yep.
I'm just telling you.
Yep.
Clifton did it for years. And you know what? J.I. Packer says, it pleases God to find the needle of truth in the haystack of error. And so God blessed my error, and I'm grateful. But I played Bible bingo on Sunday mornings. Yeah.
Tell us what's Bible bingo?
Oh, I don't know. This week we'll be in Genesis. Next week we'll be in Psalm. And then, no, we may go over to Revelation for a minute. Whatever, I want to do, you know. Whatever God says to me that week, you know, I'm just going to be. And so your people come and they never know what
it's
going to
be. They never know what's coming, yeah.
Got a bingo card there. Yeah. What verse are we in today, you know? Yeah. Whereas now, even if it's not a study through a book of the Bible, generally speaking, pastors will do a series.
Yeah.
We're going to do the parables. We're going to do the life of Moses.
Right.
We're
going to
do, you know, something like that. But there was a lot of time in my early ministry and even my mid-ministry, and a lot of times when I was younger, pastors, it really was Bible bingo. They just, every Sunday was a different text, and you just sort of superficially hit it, and you could hit the easy points.
Yeah.
So you didn't need more than 4 hours.
Right, right. Well, and here's one thing we got to remember, the plus, another plus of spending more time and developing a stronger pulpit ministry is you are discipling your people to understand the word better. Like, that's part of what you see in a church that has a high view of preaching. You're going to, over time, create and lead a people who have a high view of preaching and are hungry for the word, and you're teaching them how to study the word every week.
Right.
And so I think that's huge to the health of a congregation.
I had the chance one time, somebody brought me a cassette tape when I was a kid preacher back in 1979 or something. And my goodness, you know, I just got up there. My voice was real high. I was just hollering and yelling. And I don't know. Only a fool believes there is no God.
I wish,
you know?
Do we have recordings of
I
this?
I don't know. We
need to find some.
And, you know, like I said, God was using me and helping grow me through all that. And those dear people at Alta Vista Baptist Church were so gracious to be patient with me. In trying to learn how to preach. And that's part of how you learn is by doing it, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean,
right.
It just really
right.
is. And yep. So I was really learning, in that sense, learning how to do it and how to preach it. But for God's glory, you know, he really has brought some men in my life. Tony Mattia, a pastor in Wamego, Kansas. Mm. Man, I heard him preach through scriptures, through books of the Bible. It's like, wow, that's rich. And then I started following other guys who did that.
Yep.
And not only is it rich, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. But then I started doing that, and that's basically what I do now.
Yeah.
And here's what I'm getting at. One of the neatest things that can happen as a pastor is it's happened when I was at Warnell. I'd have some of our young couples that would leave and go on vacation, and they would come back, and they would say, oh, we went to my parents' church. You know, it's a good church, a biblical church, but there was just something about the preaching.
Mm-hmm.
It just wasn't quite there.
Mm.
And here's the deal. When you spend time in study and you're preaching God's word with the gravity that it has, people notice when you don't.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And your congregation learns how to listen to good preaching.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's when you know you're sort of doing what God wants you to do. When your people know how to listen to good preaching, they can discern good preaching, because when they go somewhere else and they don't hear it, they know it.
Yeah.
And that's really encouraging.
Amen. No, that is encouraging.
I think for sure.
No, it is. Now, here's the flip side. So the dark side of this is, and again, we're speaking specifically here about leading a normative-sized church revitalization. If you're the guy who spends his whole week in his study, I mean, maybe not literally, but you're spending so much time studying and preparing for your sermon that you neglect other really important duties as a pastor, as a leader, as a missionary, then that's a problem.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, again, if you're bivocational like I was when I was at Warnell Road, I worked a 40, 50-hour a week job. If I'm going to work a 40-hour a week job and 15 hours a week on one sermon, I don't have much time left to care for people, shepherd people, go to the hospitals, see people, counsel with people, share Jesus with people, disciple people.
Right.
I mean, I got to realize that shepherding my flock is sermon preparation.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Getting to know them, getting to know their needs. If I never encounter them, if I'm just spending the majority of my time alone, because let's be honest, sometimes people can drive you nuts, right? and you know, some people can be the worst. So it's easier just to go to Panera and lose yourself in the scripture, right?
Yeah, yep.
But you've got to get away from that, and you've got to be with your people, and you have to limit. I do believe you've got to say, here's my week.
Yeah.
And if I'm bivocational, I've got to spend X number of hours, obviously, with my family.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to spend X number of hours with my congregation.
Yeah.
I'd like to spend X number of hours developing new relationships. Maybe I can do that in my secular job.
Right.
But then I got to spend X number of hours in my sermon study. And you've got to find some ways to balance that.
That's right.
And we've talked in the past how you can do that by being in a cohort of other guys who are preaching, mm-hmm. even if it's online, doesn't have to be in the same city. Man, find some ways to connect with some of your friends and say, what are you guys preaching through? Mm-hmm. Let's do this together. Yeah. And we can maybe spend an hour online, you know, on Facebook or on Zoom every week and kind of help each other prepare
the
sermon.
Totally.
Pool our study together, that kind of thing. Again, don't be afraid to listen to other people and to learn from them and sort of limit how many things you're actually going to look at. Because at the end of the day,
yeah.
right? You got 30 minutes to communicate this. The hardest thing about preaching, Halleck, is knowing what to leave out, right?
Say that again.
The hardest thing about preaching is knowing what to leave out.
What to leave out.
You can put so much in that the really meaningful thing
yeah.
gets lost in everything else.
That's so true.
And so
yep.
sometimes you can study too much.
Yeah. And that's the temptation when you study. There's yeah. so many nuggets. And you're like, I
yeah.
got to do this.
How do
and,
I put all that in
yeah,
there?
Yeah.
So, guys, it's a balance between studying enough to really be prepared to bring the message, but also being prepared because you've spent time alone with the Lord,
yep.
because your family is in a healthy position, because your people know you're available and you love them. You got to do all of those
Amen.
Things. Is
well
it
said.
Hard? Absolutely. But if you're spending more than, yeah. and some of these guys are spending more than 15 hours, 21% of you are more than 15 hours a week. That's nearly half of your work week on one 30-minute sermon. I would be very cautious about that and wonder if I'm not – I need to find a better way to utilize my time and maybe find other ways to help me get my preaching accomplished so I don't spend 20 hours a week on one 30-minute sermon. Now, some of you are listening saying – no, it's just the opposite. It's God's word. It's the most yep. important thing we do. Look, I get that. And I suppose if you're a pastor and you've got five or six staff and, yep. and your main job is the teaching
mm-hmm,
pastor,
mm-hmm.
that may be a little bit different. But as I said before,
yeah.
I don't think they're big mega pastors tuning in Mark Clifton and Mark Halleck
no, no.
going, hey, what are those guys talking about today? I think most of us are churches
yep,
of under 100
right.
and we're the only guy
yep.
or we're bivocational.
Yep, yep.
At that point, we got to figure out how we get this done with fewer hours.
Good word. Good word. Well, guys, I think that's it for today, and man, we're excited for you to come next time, and as we always say, if you can follow us, that would be great.
Yeah, subscribe on your favorite podcast
totally.
Platform, and actually grab your wife's phone or your dad's phone or your kid's phone. If you know their password, go ahead and subscribe on their phone, too. Hey, a subscriber is a subscriber, right?
That's right. We'll
that's
count.
All. We just care about numbers, all right? Thanks.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.